Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. We've heard a lot of talk about collectivism and individualism lately, but I feel like the discussion gets way too oversimplified, so buckle your seatbelts. This episode is called Four Types of Collectives. Let's get started. So, first, I think that a lot of times when people hear the word collectivism, they think of like socialism, fascism, those kinds of ideologies. And those are bad because you shouldn't put anything before God. And those ideologies either make the state into a god or make people put the state before God. They either get rid of the churches entirely or they control the churches to such an extent that the churches just become an organ of the state. And I don't think that's right. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. However, I also think that people get a little too distracted by pure individualism. I think individual rights are very important and should be recognized in many contexts. But I think, for example, that the left often gets the definition of freedom wrong. They say that freedom should be the ability to do whatever you want to do rather than the ability to do what you should do. And that's how you get, for example, leftists who argue that the freedom, quote unquote, to kill your child in the womb is freedom because if you want to kill that child. But I would actually say that a better example is that, you know, if you're a Christian and you live in a Muslim country where you're going to get persecuted for worshiping the one true God and you flee to, say, here in America or another country that respects Christianity or at least allows it, then that is a exercise of freedom because you are fleeing to a place where you will have the ability to worship the truth and to walk in the truth. So therefore, I think people get those two ideas mixed up. I also think that the consent of the governed is an important thing. It is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, for example, and I think that the federal government should not get nearly as much power as it has been given. I think that much of that should be returned to the states. The states should return as much as they can to the communities, the cities, the counties, the towns. And even in the towns, people shouldn't rely on the government to instill them with moral values or to ensure that they know right from wrong. That should be the jobs of the parents and the churches and the schools. However, I would not go as far as to say every individual should be able to decide how he wants to live and that no laws should exist in any context. I don't think anybody can seriously argue that. I mean, yeah, there are anarchists out there that argue that, but what you would get then is chaos. Anarchy is chaos. So I don't support that. I just think that government should be more decentralized. So, what does all this have to do with collectives? Because I think that people use the word collective way too narrowly, and we have to understand that collectives exist in many more contexts than the popular discourse acknowledges. Yes, there is that type of collective I've mentioned before, which is a totalitarian regime. I would classify that as a negative involuntary collective. Now, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. There are four types, as far as I can tell, of collectives I've observed. There's positive voluntary, positive involuntary, negative involuntary, and this one may seem oxymoronic, but negative voluntary. So, how do I grade this system? Well, similar to how we do in economics. If something is positive or negative, that is determined by whether the benefits outweigh the detriments or on the other way around. Now, that can be hard to measure, I will grant, because either in general or from person to person, some of those measurements can be subjective, and what I may consider a benefit may be a detriment to some. Although, when I say that, I'm not going so far as to say things can't be true for everybody in the sense of the your truth, my truth stuff, because that's a bunch of baloney, but I do think that it can influence the way that people might grade these arrangements, because if you, for example, are somebody who does not appreciate a bunch of structure and like schedules every minute of the day, you might think that's a negative. But if you're someone like me who loves structure, that might be a positive in some cases. So, a positive voluntary collective is a collective you choose to join. A collective is a fancy word for a group. At least that's how I would see it. A positive involuntary one is one you didn't choose to join at any point, but you still consider to be largely beneficial or is largely beneficial to you by objective metrics or both. A negative involuntary collective is one you were forced into at some point. You were either born into it or you were coerced or you were like threatened or pressured in some way and you couldn't refuse to join it. A negative voluntary collective is one you joined at one point, but then it has become negative over time, because I do think these can change over time. Like, as far as a collective is concerned, it can be positive and then it can become negative if, like, the laws change or the regime changes, or if you have some very bad experiences, it can maybe make it at least negative for you, if not for everybody else. So what are some examples of each? Well, a positive voluntary collective, some examples of that would be a church, a social group, a town that you choose to move to, like, not because you had to, because that's where the jobs were exactly, although maybe you could argue, because you chose to take the job, but if you chose to move there at some point, then that would be voluntary. And if you like that place and it's benefiting you to be there more than the detriments you're getting from it, then it's positive. A positive involuntary collective, examples of that might be your family, if you have a good family. Or a country that you're born into, because nobody chooses what country they're born into. Or a, like, I don't know. I had another one, but I forgot what it was. So let's move on. A negative involuntary collective would be if your country was conquered by another country or empire. So you didn't choose to be in that, and that empire is like taking things from you and has like killed people you knew or killed your people or is like totalitarian. Or if your country becomes a dictatorship and you can't leave it for whatever reason, like if you're a North Korean, for example, that would be very negative, negative involuntary collective. At least we can say that. Maybe the people there who don't know any different might not. Although, even they, I'm sure, probably don't always love being there. That's why you have so many that defect. And even on an individual scale, a negative involuntary could be if you have a bad situation at home. Like, if you and your family don't get along or it's dysfunctional or something, you can't pick your family, usually, if we're talking about blood family, so that could be one. And then negative voluntary, as I said, could seem contradictory, but actually I can think of two main examples on an individual scale that would qualify. Cults and sometimes jobs. If you have a job and you need the job, you have no other choice but to work in that job, but you hate it, and it doesn't pay you enough, but it pays you enough to get by, and it meets your needs, but you dread going there. And then a cult, if you join a cult at some point, you choose to join the cult, like in college or whatever, but then, like, something happens and the cult stops seeming so great and it starts to become, like, abusive or destructive, then, yeah, that would definitely be a negative voluntary collective. Now, why am I mentioning all of this? Well, because I think that people need to understand that no man is an island. And so I think when we have these conversations about different issues or how things should be organized in society, we need to understand that we are in groups way more often than we might think, or that we rely on others way more often than we think. And so, while individual rights are important, we have to realize that the individual is not the center of the universe. And I think people on both the left and the right have a tendency to paint the individual as at the center of the universe. I mean, that's why on the left you have the pronouns, the your truth, my truth, the people who dress up like crazy people and want to read to kids, the people that want to kill their own children, the women that want to kill their own children. And then on the right, you're some strains of the right where you have people that are just like, okay, do whatever you want, just as long as I don't have to pay for it. And I don't think that the government should necessarily step in and, tell people what to think, but I think people need to stop and think, because when you put the individual in the center of the discussion instead of considering the community and the family and what God wants, it leads to some very negative outcomes. And I would also like to mention that when I said a collective is just a fancy word for a group, it only takes two to make a group. And you're never alone. Nobody is ever alone, because God is always with you. And even though God is not a human being, he's a spirit, he's still an intelligent being. So technically speaking, you are never alone. You are always in a collective or a group of at least two intelligent beings. And I mean, there are some cases where you have human company and that's the case. But I think that the point is, we have a problem in our society, and I think that that problem arises when people rely on the government to tell them what to think and rely on the government to fix all their problems. And when people step away from the churches and from having kids. And I've heard a lot of talk about what's causing that problem. And I would actually say that even though the answer to the actual chicken and egg question is pretty straightforward, God created the first two chickens before they could lay eggs and make more chickens. But I think this is an example of a figurative chicken and egg question. Because ever since the 1860s, the government has shoved itself into a very prominent place in citizens' lives where it did not belong. And people have come to rely on it to solve a lot of problems it was not designed to solve. And I think that while there are lots of factors that can explain people stepping away from the churches and from having families, like the smartphones and the pressure of like influencers to live as childless adults, there's been such a resurgence of that movement here recently on TikTok and whatnot. But I think that a bigger motivating factor is that in government education, public schools, they don't have prayer. They don't teach the Bible. Even in the schools that are putting up the Ten Commandments, it was a big controversy, although I'm glad some schools are taking that initiative in some states. But like, when you are taught from a very young age to look at the government and not to look at God, and you don't have that structure at home of going to church and having parents that raise you in church and stuff like that and try to form you, and your moral formation is left up to the schools, then you're not going to see a point in coming to a church unless somebody teaches you the truth later on. And so the question is, did people start to step away before they started to rely on the government? And then that reliance on the government just exacerbated more people stepping away? Or did people start to rely on the government first and then the gradual stepping away started? So I think that's definitely something we need to consider. So to recap, I am discussing this issue. It may seem very philosophical, but I'm discussing this issue because I think that it is very important that in our discussion we stop putting the individual first. I think individual rights are very important in many contexts, like freedom of speech, Second Amendment. I don't think it's the government's job to force people to think and act as it chooses in nearly as many contexts, and especially I don't think it's the government's job to tell people what to think. And I think that many of the things people rely on the government for should be left up to communities, states, churches, and families. And I'm discussing this because I think it is important to remember that no man is an island, and that even when you think you're all alone, you always are with at least one other intelligent being, and that is God. And it is important to remember that, and that freedom should not be seen as the ability to do whatever you want, but the ability to do whatever you should. And there are four types of collectives. There's positive voluntary, positive involuntary, negative involuntary, and negative voluntary. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, or at least become a bit more informed by it. Thank you so much for listening. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Amazon Music and the RSS feed. Feel free to check out the Facebook page and pass it along to anybody that might be interested. We now have a Facebook group. It's called Fireside Chatter. You can feel free to discuss the episodes, suggest topic ideas, post things that might be relevant to the podcast or the topics we've discussed already, or just about politics in general. I even will tolerate disagreement. Just be respectful, love thy neighbor. Also remember that at least here in Indiana, early voting starts October 7th, so please make plans to get out and vote. I have been clear that we shouldn't rely on politicians to solve all of our problems. I even made that point in this podcast, but I do think this election is very important, and so even if you're like me and you don't neatly fit into either party, you should definitely make plans to go out and vote. So, with all of that out of the way, thank you so much and have a blessed day.